Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've been focusing a lot on my health this past year, both physical and mental. Physical health is easier. You just exercise and stop eating all kinds of junk food. Mental health can be trickier because it's so hard to find good help. Plus, we don't all have good support structures in place to help us in our mental health journey. It's not enough to find a good therapist. You have to find a good therapist who also matches your personality. That's why I like to use BetterHelp. BetterHelp will connect you with the perfect therapist for you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, or switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Personally, I love it because it's convenient, and I'm kind of picky, so it's nice to be able to shop around for the right therapist for me. Take a moment. Visit BetterHelp.com/r/today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/r/.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Welcome to r/entitled people, where OP's sister-in-law wants to steal OP's newborn baby. Our next Reddit post is from Angel. I'm a 36-year-old woman, and my sister-in-law, as in my brother's wife, is 40. I've been married to her brother for over 10 years, and there's always been some jealousy and resentment from her. She always felt like I had the life that she wanted. Not in the sense that I was married to her brother, but just the fact that I had a marriage, a family, job stability, etc. I have 3 kids, a 10-year-old girl, an 8-year-old boy, and a 3-month-old girl. She got married last year, and they decided to start trying for a baby. But unfortunately, she was told that she can't have children naturally. She was understandably devastated, and the family comforted her as best as we could. We recently had a family dinner, and in the middle of it, she says,
OP, I think it's really unfair that you got to have 3 kids, and I can't have any. Your baby is my last chance to raise a child, so I think you should give her to me during the week so I can create a motherly bond with her, and you can have her on the weekends.
Before I could respond, the entire table erupted with everyone talking at once, so I just took my older kids upstairs. When I got back, her husband was asking, "What the hell is wrong with you, and why would you even think to ask that?" She was trying to justify herself when I asked them to leave. I also said that she's no longer welcome at my house or around my kids until she gets help. She started screaming that I don't deserve my life or my children and that I stole her baby from her. Her husband and mother-in-law kept apologizing and dragged her out of the house, still crying and screaming. Now my kids want to know why their aunt wants to take their little sister. Then, within a month, OP posted an update. So, my sister-in-law has been admitted to a psychiatric facility. After finding out that they couldn't have a baby, her husband sought out a psychiatrist rather than a counselor, and they had their first session last week. I didn't get the specifics of what happened, but basically, she made some statements that the psychiatrist felt indicated that she was a danger to others, as in, to me and my baby. So, she was placed under an involuntary hold. My brother-in-law has been nothing but apologetic throughout the entire ordeal and kept her away from us since the incident. My mother-in-law has been staying with them to keep an eye on my sister-in-law. She tried to leave the house in the middle of the night to see her baby. Also, my brother-in-law found her researching how to induce lactation, and she said that it was to make sure that she could feed the baby properly when I come to my senses and give up my child. From what my brother-in-law has said, her seeing me breastfeed is apparently what triggered the entire episode. It was the first time that my sister-in-law was around a baby for any length of time, and she was holding her when she got fussy because she was hungry. Naturally, I took the baby to feed her, and this made my sister-in-law feel inadequate because it triggered the thought that she would never be able to do that, which led to the events of the last post. Then, 4 months later, Opie posted another update. I haven't seen my sister-in-law since the incident happened, and I also blocked her on my socials. My other in-laws have been amazing throughout the entire situation and are not sharing any information about our family with her. Unfortunately, she still remains fixated on my baby. She tried to find out where the daycare is and even threatened to hurt herself if my in-laws didn't tell her. This led to another stint in the psych ward. She wrote me a letter begging me to be fair and let her see her baby. I didn't actually receive the letter, though. My mother-in-law read it and just gave me the gist of its contents. My sister-in-law's husband is working with her psychiatrist to see how she can best be helped, but he said that he doesn't know how long he can deal with this and he's giving it 6 months. It's a very sad situation for her, and I had hoped that she'd be able to deal with whatever is happening. At this point, we're completely no contact with her. We explained to our older kids that their aunt isn't well, so she won't be around anymore. We still see my mother-in-law and father-in-law regularly, so I'm grateful that we didn't have to cut them off. Man, on the first story, before any of the updates about the psych ward stuff, I was thinking, man, is this really entitlement or is this like mental health issues? Because it kind of sounds like mental health issues. And yep, this lady clearly needs help. Our next Reddit post is from Ian Moves Out. So I'm a 25-year-old man, and for the past 2 years, I lived in a small apartment building. The apartment didn't have a laundry room for the building when I moved in, but it did come with hookups for a washer and dryer in the apartment. So I decided to buy a washer and dryer myself, since I work for a wildlife sanctuary and I can get pretty dirty during my work. Just the other day, I had to chase down and wrestle one of our wild boars, Bacon. He loves to escape his pen and thinks that it's funny to play chase. It got me completely dirty. I was covered in grass stains and mud, so I very much needed my washer and dryer. My boyfriend and I just got engaged, and since my lease was up, I moved into his house with him. I finished moving everything out of my old apartment yesterday, and of course I took my washer and dryer since I'd bought them. Well, I woke up this morning to multiple missed calls from my old landlord. I called him back, and he asked me why the washer and dryer were gone. I explained that I took them with me. He started freaking out, saying that when he listed the apartment, he had said that it had a washer and dryer. Apparently, because of my washer and dryer, the landlord was able to increase the rent. He started demanding I bring them back because the new tenants had already signed the lease and they weren't interested in the apartment without them. He even threatened to call the cops if I didn't take them back. I got angry and told him I would do no such thing, reminding him that they belonged to me. I bought them and I still had the receipts from when I bought them, as well as a text from him when I moved explaining that I was buying them myself. He once again threatened to call the cops. I told him to do it and see what happened, and I just hung up. Personally, I don't think that I'm in the wrong. I bought them and they weren't cheap, so I feel like I have the right to take them. My boyfriend's on my side. But today, my coworker said they think that I'm the butthole for not telling the landlord that I was taking them. What? In my opinion, that should have been obvious. I paid for them, so why would I leave them? Well, my landlord actually went through with calling the cops because the next day they showed up. Honestly, nothing really noteworthy happened. I explained to them what was going on and I showed them the receipt from the washer and dryer, as well as a text from the landlord explaining that I was buying them. The cops just took my statement and left. Okay, I can kinda understand the landlord's point of view, not in the sense that he's right, he's definitely 100% wrong, but obviously his incentive is, if he just tries to bully and threaten you, and you believe it, then he gets a free washer and dryer. So, you know, because he's a bad person, he tries that out. But what I don't understand is the coworker calling OP a butthole. How, in what universe, is OP wrong for taking what she owns? That's supposed to make her a butthole? OP, your coworker is a doofus. Our next Reddit post is from Nancy Lou Marine. When my now ex-husband was stationed at an Air Force base along the Gulf Coast, I worked at the customer service department at the back of the base exchange there, and I'd already been working there for over a year. I was very well liked by both my coworkers and my supervisors. Usually, at this department, people just kind of walk in and get what they need because it's not a super busy department. However, beginning not long after Halloween and on into the new year, it gets horribly busy. And at that point, everyone's required to pull a number from the ticket dispenser. Once the holiday season began, this was absolutely a hard, fast rule, no matter what. One weekend day, we were wall-to-wall busy, and from the moment we opened, the registers were packed. It got so bad that we had to call people over from other departments to help. I was at a register that was doing payment only on layaways. I'm waiting on a customer when I happen to glance up and see a woman walk through the entryway and come straight to my register. She does not grab a number. She just walked straight up to me and interrupted me while I was assisting another customer.
She said, "You need to help me immediately. I'm in a rush and I can't wait very long."
Ma'am, while I can appreciate that, everyone here has somewhere else they'd like to be. If you would just grab a number ticket over there.
"I don't have time for that. You need to just assist me now."
At this point, I had just finished up helping the current customer, and I called out, "Number 75, next customer, number 75, please." At this point, the woman was turning purple. She was so mad.
"Excuse me? You need to help me now. Do you know who my husband is?"
I said, "Unless he's number 75, it doesn't really matter." As if this isn't enough of a mic drop, this is where it gets really good. She is now apoplectic and demands to speak with my manager. Fair enough. Let me go get my manager from the back where she's currently running around like crazy because, again, we're super busy. I told my supervisor, "Mary, this customer walked in, didn't take a number, came straight to my register, and demanded I take care of her ahead of a couple dozen customers who patiently waited. I asked her to pull a number, but she refused, and then asked me if I know who her husband was. I should tell you that I told her, unless he was number 75, it didn't really matter. My manager, Mary, comes out to the registers and walks up to the woman and says, "Ma'am, I'm this employee's supervisor, and she tells me you'd like to talk to me?"
"Yes, this is..."
My supervisor held up her hand and cut off the woman and says, "Ma'am, I'd love to help you right this second, but as you can see, we're really busy. If you could just pull a number, I'll speak with you when it's your turn." At that, Mary just turned around and walked to the back of the store. I wish I could describe the range of emotions that this customer experienced before she finally turned on her heel and left in a huge huff. Then, to add insult to injury, just as the woman was departing, another customer, I have no idea who, said loud enough for the room to hear, "Get back to us when your husband's more than a lieutenant. Best customer service day ever." Our next Reddit post is from Not Evil, Just British. "I'm British, and tonight I met my friend's new American girlfriend, and wow, just wow. She's achingly beautiful, utterly stunning, in fact. But she's also the most entitled and idiotic person I've ever met, and I've met Boris Johnson. In the space of just 3 hours, Scarlett O'Trailer Trash told me, 1, she's part Welsh because her family originally came from Edinburgh. 2, it's racist for me to refer to my father as Spanish and that Hispanic is the proper term, actually. My dad was literally born in Spain. 3, that I would have to tone down my Welsh accent when she and my friend have kids because it's just not refined and I want my babies to be refined. They've been dating for about 6 weeks and she's from bumfuck Alabama. 4, that she thought she may as well move to England since I'm already paying for the English economy. 5, that she could stay in England indefinitely without a visa.
I'm white and I'm practically English. Why would they ask me to leave?
6, that you can't get good sushi anywhere outside of America. Yo, does that also include Japan? 7, that snapping her fingers at the waitress was totally fine. That's why she's here. 8, that I should stop looking for a roommate and let her move into my spare room for free so that we could bond.
But you'll have to get rid of the plants because I'm allergic to the carbon that they put out.
Allergic to carbon? She thinks she's allergic to carbon, a carbon-based life form? Okay, back to the story. I must have said, "That's not really true," about 30 times. Eventually, I decided to just roll with it and enjoy the entitled insanity. So I started nodding agreement with everything she said and just let her talk. My friend was clearly dying inside. When I made my excuses to leave, she said,
"I was worried about meeting you because I know how much your friend respects you. I'm glad that I made a good impression. Add me on Instagram and I'll show you how to decorate my room."
20 minutes later, I got a text from my friend that said, "I'm so sorry. I had no idea she was that dumb. Something tells me that I won't have to see her again." Yo, what? They've been dating for 6 weeks and it took them this long to figure out that she's dumb? Have they just been passionately hugging this entire time exclusively?
Our next Reddit post is from Billiam. Since tickets for Oppenheimer were incredibly hard to get in my area for some reason, I ended up having to see this movie by myself at 9:30 p.m. on Saturday. It wasn't incredibly convenient for me, but I really wanted to see it, and at least at that hour there wouldn't be too many kids. So I show up, grab some Skittles and a soda, and go sit down. A few minutes into the previews, Karen shows up, walks to what is apparently her seat, decides she doesn't like that one, and walks back to my aisle and starts complaining at the person sitting about 3 seats to my left that she should have that seat. This is one of those theaters with those snazzy reclining seats and enough room that people don't have to stand up to let you through. The person to my right starts filming the Karen, and I sit up to watch. She's going on about how this guy needs to give her the premium seat that he reserved in advance, that he needs to respect his elders and show respect to women, that he needs to stop using cancel culture on her just because she's white. It should be noticed that the guy in the seat was white too. That he needs to stop being a lazy, entitled millennial. And what was the reason she gave that this guy had to give up his seat? Because apparently she had to go through atom bomb drills in elementary school, so she deserved to have a good view for the movie. Eventually, security shows up, they escort her out of the theater, and the rest of us watch the movie in peace. That was r/entitled people, and if you like this content, be sure to follow my podcast because I put out new Reddit podcast episodes every single day.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.